All right. Welcome back to another edition of Mormon Expression. I'm your host, John Larson, and we're here in studio with a fabulous studio audience, a studio audience of all stars.
They're not an audience.
Okay.
They're participants.
Obviously, Zilpha is here. Hi, Zilpha.
Hello.
I'm reminded again of those first days when you said to me, I'll come on if I think it's working.
I didn't say if I thought it was working. I said if I was interested.
Same thing. Same dismissive tone.
I'm not too tired. But luckily, I have a lot more energy these days.
Yeah, and we were on the East Coast then, so we used to have to record late.
Yep.
And now we just make our East Coast people record late.
We're evil.
Yeah. So this is part two of a three-part series of the sort of...
End of days.
It's not the end of days because no one's dying, right? Just
it's
my
more
heart
like
a
nap.
Little bit.
It's like Mormon Expression is going to take a little nap for a few weeks.
Yeah.
Is that okay, guys?
Only a few weeks.
It's a hibernation of sort.
Yes. So in studio, we have the world famous now, Heather. Hi, Heather.
Hello.
Heather, I still remember the first time you came in here and sat across me weeping.
That wasn't the first time I was here. That was the first time I was here.
It was conference.
Yes.
It was a conference episode.
That was the third time I'd been here.
Oh, well, you'd come just to watch, right?
I came to listen in on the 100th episode, and you asked me a question, so I was on that episode.
Were you nervous?
Yes. And then I was part of the Church Handbook of Instructions, where we looked at the changes.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat at Dee's restaurant on 7th East and 21st South for an entire Saturday from like 9 in the morning until 4 o'clock in the afternoon, reading through the different changes and writing a ton of notes. I was so...
You were well prepared. I remember that.
I really wanted to do well and impress you guys.
Oh, I think it worked.
Well, you're still here, so...
Your time investment paid off, and now you get to give more and more and more.
Behind you is Amy. Hi, Amy. Welcome back.
Hi, guys.
And Amy has actually been on stage. So have you, Heather. I've dragged you both onto stage.
Yes.
Amy was in Pre-Existence. Heather was in the
Fight Songs.
Fight Songs for Dummies.
Yep. And online, I think you're still there, just about ready to pop, is Lindsay. Hi, Lindsay.
Hello.
Lindsay, 38 weeks, right?
Yep, and so if I go into labor right now, I'm ditching y'all, but...
Lindsay...
You have permission.
For those who haven't met Lindsay, she's the cutest petite little thing. She looks like she swallowed a bowling ball or a basketball.
Like probably a basketball by now.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. It's like two basketballs, but there's only one baby in there.
And it's just a cute little girl, hopefully. I mean, that's what you were told, right? Little girl.
So far.
did you just spill the beans to the entire known world, Zilpha?
No. It's not a secret. I'm a really paranoid person. It could be anything when it comes out.
It could be an alligator.
Well, thanks for in the trial of your tribulation, thanks for joining us through the airwaves.
It's that pioneer spirit. What can I say?
Yeah. You should just drop them in the rice fields and keep working. Maybe that's a different kind of pioneer. I don't know.
Leave me on the trail to die.
Women to the right, men to the left. I remember that much. All right. And we have also Manuel. Manuel, have you ever been on Mormon Expression?
All I did was just to play the drums in the...
Manuel was our drummer
for our
live show.
And he
that's
was
all
awesome.
I've ever done, yeah.
That was kick Thank ass. When are we getting the band back together?
It's up to you.
I've been practicing my tambourine. I'm sort of like Linda McCartney. I'm ready to go well up there. So, Manuel, you don't have anything else pithy to say? We'll come back to you.
I'll have my time.
All right. And lastly, we have Jen. Hi, Jen.
Hi, John.
Jen, I had an email saying that you were the best interviewer we've ever had.
Nice.
Yeah,
and then Mormon Expression voices
excellent as well.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Jen interviewed her husband Ted. What episode was it, Heather?
Recently, yeah. I cannot remember the number.
A few weeks ago, and even Mike Tannehill was wooed by her sexy voice.
Yeah, I was really pleased, actually, with Mike Tannehill's compliment.
Yeah.
That made my day.
If you can impress the Tannehill, then you have exactly. It made.
Yeah.
All right. We've brought... We'll go around the room again and explain why everybody's here, but we're sort of doing a retrospective. Now, one thing we've tried to do in the podcast is every so often we did what we called feedback episodes, and our aim was to be as transparent as possible in terms of our thinking and what we were doing. And I mean, obviously we're not a professional show. I was recently just like, most of our feedback we get from the general public is positive, but we do get negative feedback. And I was recently interacting with a guy who was, well, there were several guys who were sort of criticizing us. And one said, it's a lousy show. There are things that are a lot better. And so the other person said, well, what ones are a lot better? And he said, well, This American Life. Well, This American Life has a budget probably of $12 million a year, has 10 professional producers, and, you know, is the flagship of PRI, Public Radio International. I should hope they're doing better because we're sitting in my living room right now. You know, so we have always done it on a shoestring. You know, we've always done it with volunteer effort. We've fit it into the nooks and crannies of our lives. That's why we tend to record late Sunday night. It's the time when most things aren't going on. And I guess I'm not trying to make excuses, but I am. I mean, that
we ain't competing you with This American Life.
No, we're not professionally trained, and we sort of learned by trial and error. And it's been a fun ride doing so. And we've never really positioned ourselves or thought of ourselves as sort of a historical journal or a matter of record or anything like that. And the panels really are fairly impromptu. I know I don't prepare.
Well, that's not, you do.
But we don't have purse or script in here usually, because I've always strived to get that sort of live interaction of people reacting to each other.
It's a record of conversations and dialogue having to do with Mormonism, an ongoing dialogue of all things Mormon.
Right. There was a recent episode we put up, and some people criticized it because there were a couple of little minor details that were stated incorrectly. But we never know where it's going to go, and you can't be prepared for every single avenue. And we have never said anything, but it's recorded very impromptu. The editing we do is very lightweight. We don't go back and edit for, oh, I said this wrong, and now I'm going to fix that. Have we ever re-recorded anything to... It seems like we did once. We actually re-recorded a section.
I don't remember.
If we did, it was way, way, way early. If I'm the editor, ain't nothing coming out of that thing. I don't even beep the swear words anymore. So, because Zilpha's got a potty mouth.
Damn right.
but anyway, I mean, it is what it is. And it's been a really fun and exciting journey. And Heather can tell you that the first directive that I've always given everybody to participate on is, number one, it needs to be entertaining.
Okay. Yes,
or, right. You're going to say interesting.
I was going to say interesting, but actually the thing that came to mind was, you have to disagree with me. Like,
oh, yeah,
you
John does say that.
Yeah, if people are too wimpy to say, I don't think you're right, then you didn't think it would work.
Right,
yeah. And that as Zilpha and I sort of became stronger, the voice of Mormon Expression, which we didn't really set out to do it that way. It just sort of fell into that. It became harder because, not that people don't disagree with us, but...
You became celebrities.
Well, and we became intimidating.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
You know, you're sitting in my... It's like the bishop's desk. You know, yeah. He owns that space, right? You know, there's a reason he's sitting behind the desk and you're sitting on the little folding chair out there. And, you know, the same sort of thing happens in here, I guess. But
We give them the crappy chairs that fall backwards.
if you want to see my eyes light up, come in here and start... There's one time I'm so proud of little Brant. He got really mad at me, and I got so excited. It was the happiest day of my podcasting life.
Did you just call him little Brant? Because that's not.
He's kind of a beefy dude, isn't he? Yeah.
He's probably gonna kick your ass after that one.
Yeah, bring it on. He, you know, I tried to give him a hug, and he gave me a bro half hug. He like cut me off.
Like a reach around kind of.
Yeah, he kind of like positioned himself. And I was wondering if he was just doing an awkward Mormon thing. Then later he dropped this thing, maybe someday he'll give me a full hug. So it was intentional. he was intentionally blocking my hug.
He won't accept hugs from apostates?
But I think he gives Zilpha a full-on hug.
Well, of course he did.
Well, I'm going to have to think about this a little bit more. Something's going on here.
Notice, Brent. We know what you're up to.
I need to ask him how his vacation from church is going. All right. So Mormon Expression grew, and there came a point. We actually hung. Mormon Expression had expenses. So from the first day, I really enjoyed everybody we started the podcast with, but I think I was a little bit more enthusiastic about it than everybody else was. And the reason I say that is because I wrote all the checks in the beginning.
And well, I think and you did almost all the footwork too, to get everything all set up. I mean,
yeah,
all the footwork.
Yeah. I mean, I had no idea. I never run WordPress or a podcast or iTunes or any of that stuff. So I went out and I graduated from graduate school. We'd moved out to North Carolina, so I had actually budgeted time. My master's degree is an MBA. I'm a business major. So I went and I set out my plan. I knew exactly what needed to be done, and I set timelines. So I didn't want it to fail. So I set it up sort of like you would set up a business. Sorry, that's a beer burp. and so I knew what I needed to get done to go live. And I committed to everybody. We started meeting in May and we went live in June. And I committed to everybody that we would produce content through to December, that I would stick with it at least that long. So we cranked up, and from day one or very closely thereafter, we hung out a shingle. I think I invested probably about $1,000-$1,500 into the project that first summer, between equipment and we had some challenges because Zilpha was participating, and so there's some technological challenges if you're going to record off of Skype and have somebody in the studio. So I had to immediately answer those challenges. But there's always been an element of money, and people will come in and criticize us for money, and I understand it. I came out of the same church the rest of y'all did, and I understand the need for transparency. But there is also this anarchist bent, I think, out there of they don't want any money spent for anything. And somebody who knows better was criticizing us not too long ago, 3 or 4 months ago, and said it was fun until it became about money. And my answer is fuck off. It was always about money for me because I was writing the checks. So it's easy to come and say, oh yeah, when you made it about money, what they're saying is when you kept paying for it yourself and didn't make any noise, then it was fun. but we have never really sought to monetize it in a high avenue, meaning we wanted to do things. That's what we're going to talk about tonight, and be able to pay the bills and grow it and reach as many people who we thought would benefit from it or enjoy it. But beyond that, I never had dreamed of quitting my day job. But no. There are expenses. Like we have a beefed up internet connection here. We pay for that every month more than we would now. I mean, there's a certain pornographic benefit that comes from that as a side. As a sideline, but other than that, so that we spend more time on our cell phone than we would normally. So there's these costs that you're absorbing, all the time that we now pay, currently we pay for the, and not a lot of money, basically cover expenses that as the director of Whitefields, I'm the director of Voices, the executive director. So there is money going to people, but it's not a lot. Our operational budget, and by the time you hear this, well, maybe not, but I'm working with our accountant right now to get out our first quarter and second quarter statements. So if you go to whitefieldseducational.org in the near future, you'll be able to see our quarterly statements, see what's coming in and where it's going out. And really our budget is a few thousand dollars a month. It's not tons and tons of money. We want to continue that because there's things that we want to do with the money. So Mormon Expression, I'm talking a lot, so you can chime in over me. Mormon Expression, so grew out of this just desire to talk about things. And I know I've said this before. We started in 2009. I just finished graduate school. Mormon Stories had been a big podcast, but it had gone on hiatus. So there wasn't really much out there. And the two podcasts from the Mormon front that were most inspiring to me were Mormon Stories and the Church Is Not True podcast, Mike Norton's podcast. I think they did about 11 episodes because I really enjoyed that format. I enjoyed listening to podcasts. I still do to some degree or the other. And just to me, there was something missing at the time. And there were limitations of both of them. You know, I had the advantage to be able to listen to both of them and say, these are things I liked and these things I didn't like. And then we started ours up to fill that space. What's interesting is we were always just a bunch of yahoos sitting around in our living room. We never had any pretense to say we're the next voices of Mormon studies, and we still don't, or we're some kind of prophet, or we have guidance. I'm actually amazed to this day that I might write something and it'll, the reaction is disproportionate to who I am, in my opinion. And you know, because we're just jerks with microphones, you know, and the internet makes that possible.
Speak for yourself, John.
Well, there's at least two of us. All right. So,
John, it's like the wise kids on the internet always say, haters gonna hate.
Yeah. Mormon's gonna mourn.
Right, and I've always said to people, you know, Mormon Expression is not for everybody. There's a particular, just like any radio show's not for every, you know, there's a whole bunch of talk or interview shows on TV.
Kind of entertainment, which is what Mormon Expression is entertainment.
But yeah, basically, and I think we want to get information out there, but it'd be infotainment to coin a phrase. So I think, you know, that's what we strive for. But I think what it really did more than anything, for people, based on the feedback I've received over the years, is it helped people feel normal,
less crazy. Right?
I don't think personally that there are people who walked into something like Mormon Expression with a strong, solid testimony of the restored gospel, and then walked out the other side with it in shambles. I mean, it could happen, but I think what generally happened is people were already in crisis, were already going through these sort of things. And I think any one of us out there, be it the Ex-Mormon Foundation with their conference, be it Mormon Expression, be it Mormon Stories, if there's a tendency for, I think there might be a tendency for us to think we're much too influential. We are helpful and we're doing a good service, I think. But I think if any of us weren't there, the folks would go elsewhere. The church is its own worst enemy. The church is creating more apostates than anybody else could do. But so what I think that Mormon Expression did and does is because of the way we approach it, and we do it in a way without wringing our hands. With that, when we do it with some chuckles and we do it with some pointing out and saying, isn't this silly? Weren't we all silly to believe this? Isn't it still fun? Aren't we all still broken? Aren't we all still in the same boat? I think it helps people realize that I'm not insane, because I think we all went through a phase when we felt like that, saying, why am I putting myself through this? Mm-hmm. Why can't I just get with the program?
Everybody else is fine with this, so why am I not?
Yeah, I completely agree. I started listening to Mormon podcasts when I was already in the middle of a faith crisis. And what Mormon Expression, more than any other podcast, did for me was I'd be standing at the bus stop saying, yes, damn it. That is exactly right. You know, like it kind of, as Amy has said, about what people want from a podcast is they want what they are thinking themselves expressed back to them so that they
feel validated.
They feel validated for the concerns they're having. I mean, I remember sitting at work and I sit out in the open in front of everybody and having to go run down the road because I was like going to cry, going to have a mental breakdown. You know what I mean? And having something I could just put in my headphones and feel like there are others out there who understand the frustrations I'm having was immensely helpful.
Yeah, we've gotten a lot of letters that speak to a similar experience from a lot of people.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Catharsis.
And I think one of the great things about Mormon Expression, one, the humor part of it, but there's no sugarcoating. Mm-hmm. None of us are trying to say anything softly.
And there's no, but there, at the same time, there's no hate. Like there, it's not like vitriolic.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because if I'm making fun, which I try not to do, but I do anyway, if I'm making fun of believers or people who are halfway in, halfway out, it's because I was one of you. I was one. I can, you know, I feel like I'm at the AA meeting. You know, I'm in the same boat. So it's me, and I feel ownership for all those strange thoughts. I can empathize with that. I think sometimes the apologists and believers forget about that because we're turncoats. They forget that we really are cut from the same material, and we remember what it was like. And, you know, for me, I think people should leave the church because I think they'll be better off after they do. Pabst Blue Ribbon. I don't know.
It's the hipster revenge right now.
But
it's fighting you.
I came to find Mormon Expression because it was like,
Zilpha took it away
for the
me.
Historical aspect, I like you covered historical topics.
Uh-huh.
Like getting history from like that hot teacher, like
it, ooh, John.
Yeah, she's talking about Zilpha.
Well, yeah. I mean that you guys are fun. It was fun and it wasn't boring. Mormons, we take ourselves so seriously and I get tired of it. And we're boring and we're emotional and everything has to be this testimony fest. And Mormon Expression, we could just laugh about things like polygamy. That's hilarious. Let's laugh at it.
Flaming sword is hilarious.
Absolutely. Now,
lighten up. Podcasts can be fun and silly too.
They should be, unless they're not.
Right.
Right. You know. I mean.
And it's, you know, it's, then that's what good comedy is. And I'm not saying we're good comedy, but good comedy always pushes the edge a little bit and helps us reanalyze things that might be painful. One time, this is years ago, I was on a bulletin board. It wasn't even dealing with Mormonism, but there were some people on there like, why are we always fighting about stuff? Matter of fact, I'll tell you what it was. It was a medieval reenactment society. And they're like, why on the bulletin boards?
Like a LARPing type of thing?
The SCA. Please, LARPers are all about foam.
Foam and latex.
That's a part of my life that I have not wanted to talk about publicly so far. But yes, I was a member of the SCA for a while, and I dragged Zilpha in. Am I telling you the truth?
You know, if I ever showed love towards John, that was probably this, you know.
It was fun. You know you loved
the
it.
The most obvious showing of it.
All right. So this was, we were young. We didn't have kids and something to do in Logan. But the reason we were always fighting on the bulletin boards is that's the only thing there is to do on bulletin boards, right? That's you can't just agree with each other. Hey, isn't May Day cool? Yeah, I agree. May's the best time of the year. May Day's the best time of May. Yeah, you guys are right. I mean, it just doesn't work. And that's one of the reasons church is so boring, right? Because you can't, all you can do is agree. Yep. Chapter 2, you know, you can't say anything, and it just doesn't work for a conversation. It's not funny. So, anyway.
You know what is funny?
What?
The Book of Abraham.
The Book of Abraham.
Just kidding.
I thought you were going to say, you know what's funny? My water just broke.
You know, we do, for those who haven't been into Studio Fist in Your Face, we do have the Book of Abraham facsimiles on the wall.
Yep, in colorful glory.
Yeah.
And they're very serious, and we don't laugh about them.
Side story. I had those before we left the church, or right when we were leaving the church, and I had them hanging on the wall in the living room, in our main front room. None of you have ever in our house in Layton. And they were, because every day I could look up at facsimile number 3, where it says, it has in Egyptian written above their heads,
what's going on and who they are.
And you can read, the,
translation.
The translation, and the translation is wrong. There's no way around it. We can read what it says above their head. We can read the translation.
We can't read Egyptian, but plenty of people can.
Yeah, Egyptian can be read.
Nowadays.
And if you want a smoking gun, that's it. It's facsimile number 3. Joseph Smith said, this says X and it says Y. There's no way around that. And I had it in my living room to remind myself, why am I putting myself through this? And I could look at that every day and say, that's why. It's not true. That facsimile is not true. Whether the church is true or not is another discussion, but facsimile 3 translation is not true, right?
He was translating as a man.
Oh, yes.
You come over to John Larson's house and he breaks your heart bit by bit.
But
breaks your heart.
But I replace it with something better.
Marshmallow Pabst, fluff.
Pabst Blue Ribbon.
I have vinyl on my walls, okay? When people come over to my house, They get an uplifting quote. They don't get their testimony shattered into pieces.
But if I remember right, the vinyl on your walls is good, like middle of the road pop psychology. It's not just like Families Are Forever, or am I misremembering it? Wait,
I'm in transition. They started out one way, and pretty soon they'll be like Led Zeppelin quotes or something.
We should do a study that shows the degeneration of female testimony through vinyl wall. It's the next Sunstone article. Somebody can be the keynote next year.
Luckily, my wife was never into that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
She's not a cutesy, you know, loving that kind of stuff. And so we always kind of made fun of the one that says, all because two people fell in love.
Uh-huh.
So after we adopted our son, it's kind of mean, but we said we wanted to put a big a vinyl that said, all because two people got drunk. I could hang that.
Coming to your next desert book.
So, Mormon Expression, as Ilf and I have been on our journey, and really what happened, because there's been a lot of talk about our journey. We I know we said this before, but we went to church the last time in 2005. And by that time, our testimony was non-existent. We were just trying to go to church culturally. We were trying to make it work. It was part of our heritage.
It had been non-existent for a good year and a half to 2 years.
I remember when my son was born, and he was born in October 2003, we were full on in the middle of a flaming crisis.
Yeah.
So you can count it out from there. And it was, I think it was October 2005, 2 years later when it was the last time we went. So we tried to make it, we tried every possible way.
Wait, I had to go till 2006.
Yeah. You kept going.
I had to go so I could finish my BYU degree.
You let this out, they might try to pull your degree back.
They
from
can't
you.
Do that. I've got it. It's secure.
But in Zilpha's defense, because she was doing BYU independent study.
Right.
And you had to keep an ecclesiastical endorsement. And yep. The last bishop you went to, you said, I don't believe this anymore.
I said, I don't. And he said, well, then why do you want to go to BYU? I said, well, because I'm almost done and I don't want to have to start over somewhere else. And he said, all right, I'll sign it.
Yeah, he was a nice guy. And almost all of our bishops, and we've had very little negative interaction.
But we were still doing our callings. We were still paying our tithing. I just simply didn't believe.
Yeah, and he called me in. He never called you in sort of that pseudo-sexist thing, you know. But he was very cordial, and we had a good conversation and twice, and then he just sort of patted me on the ass and sent me out the door. And that was the end of it. And then we moved out of that ward 2 or 3 years later, but we never had any problem with them.
No.
So we were, when we first were having that crisis, I was talking about when my son was born, we were up in Logan area. We really just felt alone. Because what happens to a lot of people is you'll start withdrawing from your church relationships will stop being culturally
fulfilling
or mentally fulfilling. And you'll realize oftentimes, like a lot of Mormons do, that Mormonism sort of takes all your time and you don't have a social network outside of that. And so more than anything during that period, we just felt isolated. And so we had kind of worked through.
And I happened to have two little babies didn't help the isolation factor with me staying at home in a box with two little babies.
Absolutely.
Anyway, that's a side note.
So we had sort of worked through a lot of that stuff. And then when we were living in Layton in 2006 or 2007, we started working with Diane Ormon. There was something in Utah called the Community After Leaving Mormonism. It's still sort of around. It's still sort of the shell organization that helps do picnics and stuff. And we sort of sponsored the group up in North Davis County. We had monthly meetings at the library. We'd have speakers come in. We'd have 30 or 40 people there.
We had childcare going.
We'd do picnics. We had childcare. And so we got involved in that sort of stuff before we moved out to North Carolina in 2008. When we started the podcast in 2009, we were really sort of done with the church. But as we talked about before, we both, Zilf and I, had an ongoing interest in Mormon culture. Well, not so much culture, maybe a little bit, just the weirdness.
Interest in how it had changed over time.
But doctrine and stuff. We were collecting books then and still reading a lot of them.
Yeah.
You're
and the history.
Like Mormon sociologists.
Yeah. And just all of everything Mormon became much more interesting than it ever had been at any other point in our lives. Because we were seeing it from a different perspective, and suddenly everything was laid bare and everything made sense.
Yeah.
For the first time.
But so it was a hobby for us. It was sort of interesting, but emotionally we were really out of it. Now, for every Mormon, I compare
I don't think we were emotionally out of it for a long time. And I still have a tweak of pain when I think of, you know, it's like a divorce from an abusive spouse that you still have some love for.
Yeah,
that's a very hard thing to do, to just, you know, to get rid of somebody because they're bad for you. Even though you love parts of them, and you were with them for a long time,
I think the abusive spouse metaphor is a good one. But I really think, as I've looked around the world, the best explanation for people leave the church as older adults. If you leave when you're like 20 or 21, I think you can kind of move on and start a whole new life. But that's not always the case, because the religion infuses all of our upbringing from the time we're very little, and it depending on how seriously you took it, how serious your family took it, it's something you can never fully recover from. And I look at it more, ex-Mormons are sort of like addicts who are recovering, probably the best example is like nicotine addicts, because you can talk to people who smoked a lot for a lot of years then quit. They say, you know, I haven't had a cigarette in 30 years, but there's not a day goes by that I don't crave one. And sometimes those cravings are really strong. What tends to happen with addicts who recover is there'll be these spikes. And sometimes they slip up during one of those spikes. But over time, it gets better incrementally. And because Mormonism is so, it's like a brain tumor, you know, to keep mixing my metaphors. You know, some of those are inoperable. They can treat them, but they can't, without killing you, they can't go and pull it out. And that Mormonism is all through all of our connections in our brain, and it cannot be extracted out of there. And the pain, and last day or so, you've been arguing with your brother. We don't need to go into the details, but so the point is you can't really fully escape. But when we got back into the podcast, it was a matter of interest, but it sort of brought back some of these old things. It's sort of a little bit like keeping a wound open. And the hardest part emotionally was not really our dealing with it, but we vicariously, because we are who we are, we're accessible. Sometimes if you're alone and you have discovered this podcast, it's the only thing out there. We've received literally hundreds, if not 1,000 emails from people, you know, in various shades of depression, divorce. You know, we've taken phone calls all hours of the day and night from people. You know, you get an email from somebody saying, I'm at the end of my rope, whatever, and you send them your cell phone number and you spend an hour on the phone with them. And that sort of stuff takes its toll. Zilf and I were talking yesterday, because people, they see the glory of it. They see the, oh, well, everybody knows your name and you're popular or whatever. But it's sort of like being a social worker. And have you seen any social worker that gets like invigorated by their job? And it's not that we don't want to help. We do want to help, but it can be sort of draining. It's hard to watch the church fuck up so many people's lives and just to see it over and over and over again.
Yes, but let's move into something more positive now.
Okay, but the podcast has been a blast and all that. But there comes a point. My point is, we were sort of emotionally done with the church before. It's sort of artificially around, but eventually your interests kind of wane a little bit. And to do it weekly took a lot of time.
Yeah, I feel like when we have to invest so much time and effort and mental energy into it, there comes a point when it's probably not healthy anymore to keep that amount of focus
right
on something that you've left.
And the way most things are in life, they either can grow or shrink. I mean, that's the way most businesses are. A lot of just things are either getting better or they're going downhill. And so as Mormon Expression grows, it takes more effort to keep it running. So there's a business side to it. And that's why, given a lot of these things, protecting ourselves financially from the pursuit from lawsuits, the church has never come after us legally, but they've gone after other people in public ways for less than what we've done before. So we did eventually incorporate, and we finished that up this year. So
it was last year we incorporated as a nonprofit in Utah, and we filed for federal nonprofit status, which came through in January or February.
I think it was fully done like in March or April of this year. So what Mormon Expression incorporated under the company Whitefields Educational Foundation, which is a 501c3 nonprofit.
So that's the umbrella organization.
That's the company that owns Mormon Expression.
Yeah, Mormon Expression.
And there is a board of directors. We have PhDs and lawyers and all sorts of smarty pants is on the board of directors.
Plus me, I mean.
Plus Zilpha.
Sorry, guys.
The goal really for Whitefield was take the energy we have, the approach we talked about with Mormon Expression, and try to say what other good can we do in the world? How else can we meet this with doing things that are unique? And the way I sum it up, my elevator statement is Whitefield is about accurate information about the church, be it positive, negative, indifferent. We're not about trying to get people out of the church. We're not trying about get people in the church. My personal feeling is, of course, people should leave the church, and the information speaks for itself. So, from my personal bias, which is not necessarily shared by Whitefield, is that if you give them accurate information, you don't have to dress it up in evangelical bullshit, then people will look at it and realize it is what it is. So I think that Whitefield's neutrality on the issue of the churches, I think Whitefield wants information accurate. So it wouldn't be neutral on whether the church is true or not. It's neutral on facts. It just wants the facts out there.
Yeah. So it's expanded now. We've got more than just Mormon Expression going on.
Let's be clear. So Mormon Expression, the main podcast, is not dying, and it's still...
Oh, right. We said that last...
I know, but I want to be clear, because I still get questions about this. There's still confusion. And every month, every week, we get new listeners who find it, can listen through the backlog of podcasts, and those are not going anywhere. But it does take money and effort to keep those up there, and you know, that we push through 8 or 9 terabytes of data a month now, and, you know, that has to be funded and maintained, and, you know,
and the website has issues now and then. People have to go in and straighten it out. And
right, I'm the director of this company, but I'm also basically tech support, and I spend a lot of time fixing this little thing over here and helping out with this little thing and doing this little thing. So
right, and the Mormon Expression blogs, they've been coming and going. You know, people post as they come up with stuff, and that will continue. Mormon Expression episodes will continue to come out as John and I feel like doing them. Basically, we're thinking probably once every month or two.
Yeah. The main thing is just the production cycle of doing it weekly. We don't have the time.
It's
mixed with the interest to keep that
up. It's too draining on our souls.
But Zilpha is heading up the one of the projects. We've had 3-4 videos now.
Yeah, I think 3 or 4. Well, I put out Mormons Say Some Things Are Not Okay. That's a video on Mormon Express, the Mormon Express YouTube channel. And then Brigham Young Said So is another one that I did. And then we also had Bob Hayden. Bob did a video of the mass resignation that we put up because that is something going on in Mormonism, not because Whitefield's funded or had anything to do with the mass resignation, but I thought our audience would be interested in that. So that's up there. And a couple other things, a promo video that Bob did of for Mormon Expression. There will be more things coming on the Mormon Expression.
The Pre-Existence for Dummies is
up
there.
Oh, right. That's on there.
Yeah. So we do have a channel. It's under Mormon Express. We didn't have enough characters, apparently. Their database is limited.
No, like I think I had set one up before with Mormon Expression and forgot the password.
Oh, okay. So if you search for Mormon Expression on YouTube, you'll find it, or you search Mormon Express. So Zilpha you'll be continuing to spearhead
continue to direct that aspect.
And so when I was looking at YouTube and stuff, did you do a call for volunteers for that one?
No, but if you have an idea for a video, or you want to spearhead a video that you think would be appropriate for the Mormon Express channel, give me a PM or contact mail at mormonexpression.com, and yep. I'll be happy to have your help.
Okay, so I don't want to do I want to do these sort of in random order, and Lindsay might her water might break any second now. So Lindsay, are you still there? Do we put you to sleep?
No, I'm on the clock. I'm good.
All right. So Lindsay is an all-star herself, and you've been blogging at Feminist Mormon Housewives for quite some time.
Correct.
And you guys get a lot of traffic, and you get a lot of press. I see you guys picked up, like you're in a lot of Rolodexes, it seems.
Yeah, people like talking to us. I think we're a contradiction of terms. So everybody hates us and everybody loves us at the same time.
Yeah, and I think you're safe. It might be because of your plumbing. You seem a little less aggressive.
John.
Wait a minute.
I'm just wanting all the feminists to get mad at me. That's all.
He just wanted to wake you up.
But
maybe he means my literal plumbing, like in my sink over there. That could be true.
So Feminist Mormon Housewives is still its own independent thing. You guys are still out there doing your thing. And we didn't want to interfere with that at all. But one of our goals, of like I've talked about, is to say, okay, where's our expertise? What do we do well as Whitefields Education? And what can we use the funds that we've achieved to promote the better good? So we came together with you folks. And so what Whitefields does is sponsors the Feminist Mormon Housewives podcast. And confirm, if you will, we do not exercise any editorial control over your content. Is that right?
That is correct. We let no man rule over us.
So Lindsay, explain to us what the podcast is about.
Well, it's called Feminist Mormon Housewives Podcast.org.
What an awful name. Who came up with that?
No.
Couldn't you come up with a... That was what I did.
It wasn't. John gave me an option, and we ran a few by, but we wanted, you know, people to recognize us, and I think that they will, but they might get tired of typing it in the URL. So we're a podcast. We want to start discussing women's issues, particularly women's issues in the church, and we're really excited about that. I think some Mormon Expression listeners find our approach problematic. And to that, I give you a big F you. No, I'm kidding. I don't. We welcome everybody. In fact, we were just talking earlier before we started recording about being man-hating feminists. And we actually have a lot of men on the show because men are feminists too. And I don't know if you know this, but John Larson is a pretty big flaming feminist. Whether he...
That is true.
...label That's true. Or not.
You know,
he totally brought me out of my misogynistic shell. I mean, I was more of a misogynist than he was when we met.
When I was a BYU student, I joined the feminist club of my own free will.
To meet women.
Hey now.
You're so sneaky, John Larson.
No, maybe. I mean, I don't know. But I did. I actually joined it. Yeah.
We say this all the time. Misogyny and patriarchy, it's not men versus women. It is a system that we all participate in. And sometimes women are really, really bad at it and worse at it than men are. So,
and very complacent.
Our purpose is to kind of educate people on the issues because, you know, when I started going through my own kind of disaffection, I guess, it wasn't over feminist issues at all. I was so entrenched in the patriarchal structure of things. I had problems with historical stuff. So I kind of got a feminist education and I'm still like recognizing my own privilege in the church and or lack of privilege in the church and in society and that kind of thing. And so that's what we kind of invite people to do. We have a lot of feminist like 101 series to kind of explain the issues. And we go into a lot of feminist theory, which have plenty of critics. So if you want to be a critic, come over and be a critic and a bunch of angry feminists will bite your heads off.
But at least you can learn about the issues so that you can be an educated critic.
Yeah, and we actually really like lively discourse. I'm kidding about biting your head off, hopefully. We try to keep things pretty
cordial.
What's the word I want? Friendly? But so we just want to bring everybody in who's curious about these issues. And our goal at Feminist Mormon Housewives is a place to be feminist and faithful. But more with this podcast, I think we want to get women's issues out there. We want to educate people. We're really interested in helping the current young children and girls in the church probably have a better future than we did. So
now you have an interesting mix. You do the panel format. What would you say roughly the percentage of critics to faithful or at least church attending participants are?
That's a good question. I know that when I first came on to Feminist Mormon Housewives, it was a lot more faithful, I would say, in general. Maybe I brought that down a little bit. But I think we have a good mix, and we try to coexist pretty well. We have some people that we have a lot of actually what we would call apostates or people that have left the church. But we also have this really interesting group of people that have never been Mormon that mm-hmm. are really interested in Mormon feminism. And then we have a lot of people that are still active. In fact, those that blog at Feminist Mormon Housewives, it's probably half and half who attend and who don't.
It's a really great mix of being deferential but challenging. I mean, I think you guys really get that balance right. And, you know, one of the feedback that we get quite a bit is, hey, I love Mormon Expression and I wish my spouse would listen to it, but it's a little bit too raw for them. And I think this is a podcast that I think can open the dialogue and share a little bit better than Mormon Expression does on that discussion between Mormons and critics and all that kind of stuff. And if you're one of those dudes who's in the church, but you know, your wife will have nothing to do with any sort of criticism a la Mormon Expression, this might be something that she would be willing to listen to. And I don't mean to say this is for the women. I do actually feel quite strongly about feminist issues. And I do think that this is stuff that we all need to be concerned about. And it's fun.
And to that, we don't just have like a faith spectrum there. We have like a feminism spectrum. So we have like, you know, people that identify as feminists but are against gay rights. And then we have people that are like the radical, anti-marriage feminists. Like we have the whole spectrum. And I think that's kind of fun too.
And I read recently that the more matriarchal a society is, the more sex everybody gets. So
that's what we need to convert to.
People, listen up.
So over. The more you have women in charge, the more everybody gets a little. All right. Let's see. Jen? So we have some interesting projects and some that have a longer runway, but they're projects that I really believe in for a lot of reasons. That on the surface, they might not be as sexy or accessible, but one of them
is...
I know. this is probably... I don't want to single everybody else out, but Jen, I think you're my favorite.
Thanks, John.
This is the Mormon Audio Library at mormonaudiolibrary.org. And we patterned this after the world in which we used to... No, we patterned it after the organization out there called LibriVox.
Yeah. Yeah, it mirrors that concept.
So LibriVox is basically, there's all these books, and I think the cutoff year right now is 1920.
About 70 years.
It's 70 years or so, yeah. So it's a little bit later than that. But all the books fall into the public domain after that point. And what LibriVox is a way to provide audiobooks for books that have fallen into the public domain by having individuals, volunteers, record. So you can go get... the Sherlock Holmes books, and you can download them for free from LibriVox or anything out there that's mm-hmm. before that date that they've recorded. Sometimes they're a little bit more amateurish than if you'd buy it from Random House or whatever, but it gets the job done. And likewise, most of the most interesting things that have been written about Mormonism have all fallen into the public domain. So, you know, we looked at, you know, where are our strengths and where are our weaknesses as a company and saying, how can we help out on this front? And we have the setup, we have the know-how, we have the ability to do recording. And so our idea is to try to get as many of these books to the public as possible.
Sure. And I think that in addition to books, there are other documents and things that people have expressed interest in reading and listening to. So, yeah, it'll be documents and literature about all things Mormon. So we are currently accepting volunteers to read because there's a lot of material out there. I've had our initial volunteers start on Journal of Discourses. And what I thought would be somewhat boring listening to some of the ones that we're editing right now, it's actually much more amusing than I had planned. So a lot of the older stuff that was coming out of the mouths of the men, the leaders of the church, is really hilarious. Some of it's offensive, but it's neat to listen to what our ancestors were listening to.
And then
what it morphed into is quite interesting as well. So,
well, we're not editing at all. Because, like, if you go watch Bugs Bunny cartoons now and you get the ones from the store, they're, like, unedited.
Right.
And they were racist when we saw them, but
Bugs
they're
Bunny
really
smoking
racist.
Smoking cigars. Yeah.
So we're not editing the documents, but we...
Yeah, we're not editing any content.
No.
Just cleaning up stumbles.
Yeah, just cleaning right. up because stumbles. It's volunteer readers. We also could probably use some volunteer editors, right?
Yeah, at this point, I haven't had enough volunteer readers to need more than a couple
of
editors.
It overwhelming.
But hopefully, after everyone out there hears this and realizes how exciting reading Journal of Discourses is and other Mormon books, then we'll need more editors
as
well.
It's fun.
So.
You can do it theatrically, too.
Yes.
You don't have to
some
just be like,
some that have been
bravado.
Submitted or,
hey, here I am standing up on the stand.
Yeah.
your voice will be immortalized. This project is 100% completely without bias.
That's what's wonderful. It's for believers and non-believers alike. It's interesting and the stuff, it's all primary source material that you know, what makes us who we are as modern Mormons, modern ex-Mormons. So it's a good project.
Yeah.
And it's great for our listeners because our listeners listen to audio, you know, stuff on audio.
Yeah, so I absolutely would not read the Journal of Discourses cover to cover, even though it's on the shelf. But being able to listen to it at work has been good. So.
Yep. And there are a lot of people, like when I worked in a nursing home, there was a woman who had sort of gone blind over time, and she just listened to audiobooks all the time. And there's a lot of people with, you know, visual impairments that this project will be a service to also.
I'd like to say that hopefully by the time you guys are listening to this, that there will be material up on the site. There's nothing there now, but we're in the process of editing. We have quite a few submissions, so we should get some up
in the next couple of weeks. And what's the site name?
So it's MormonAudioLibrary.org, and you can volunteer using that site. You can contact me.
Yep.
Awesome.
And we do give leverage to, if you're committed, and there's a book that you want to read, if you don't want to read Journal of Discourse, then
absolutely. I'm open to suggestions, of which many people have their favorites that they'd like to read, and I can verify whether or not it's in the public domain. And in the future, as it grows, we'll likely, like John and I have discussed, contact publishers, maybe read some things that aren't in the public domain if we get permission.
Yeah, that's on
that would be ideal.
That's on the docket. So, you know, just another sort of thing we're investigating doing. Yeah, absolutely. All right, so that's the Mormon Audio Library. This microphone just got passed to Manuel.
Yes.
Now I have to say, Manuel, I'm just assuming that you're doing a good job because I don't speak Spanish.
Right.
Now Manuel is the epitome of a great volunteer because he contacted us and we said, "Yeah, that sounds cool. We'll get with you next week." And then he went and did the next thing and then we said, "Okay, good."
Yeah, that's great.
Then we'll get with you next week and then he went and did the next thing and on.
And he got it all up all on his own. He's already recorded
five
episodes.
It's obviously a project you believe in. So
now, what is this project?
Well, we are doing a podcast in Spanish, of course, and I kind of got inspired by the top 10 that you guys used to do, and it's mostly like historic aspects of Mormonism that are not very well known, and I'm doing it because, you know, I grew up in South America, and until I went on my mission, I never read anything besides a church manual. It was nothing.
Right. There's very, very little material that gets translated by the church department.
Right. And you go to the distribution center. There's a temple there in Buenos Aires. And we will go there. And there's a distribution center. And that's the only place where you can buy Mormon stuff in the whole country. And it was just the scriptures and like two Mormon Tabernacle Choir CDs. And I was like,
right. Really sad. It's sort of like being a missionary permanently.
Yeah. And the CRT rings, you know, cheap.
Yeah.
And so when I went on my mission, that was the first time that I found out there was something else. Like somebody had passed me a couple of talks that apparently some institute CS guy translated a couple of talks, and he handwrote, and this is before, you know, computers were affordable back down there. Really nice handwriting with pictures and stuff. And it was two talks. One, it was on Columbus, how he was inspired by God, you know, to come to America. And the other one was Skousen's talk on the atonement. I didn't know it was Skousen. It didn't have a title or anything. And then my friend lost him. And then I read that, and it was different, you know. And I was blown away. I'm like, wow, there's something else. You know, people can actually think, come up with stuff of their own.
Because the manuals are so milquetoast.
Oh, they're very dry.
I mean, Mormonism itself has a lot of interesting parts, but you won't find them in the manuals. They're just...
Well, I was so excited when the first, you know, teachings of the prophets came out, the Brigham Young.
Mm-hmm.
I was so excited. I'm like, finally, some meat, you know, and it was just the same stuff. Yeah.
Right.
All the same. And so I was looking for that kind of stuff because I knew it existed, and I just couldn't find anything. And so I moved here. And I didn't know that you could actually go to DI and find really good, interesting stuff. So I will go to Deseret Books, and I will buy books of essays. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so boring. And and so actually listening to you guys' podcast was the first time that I actually found some really interesting, you know, history. And there's something else. And you recommend books. And then I started reading the signature books. And so I found a whole world out there. And now I'm so excited about it that I want to share it, except that there's still nothing in Spanish or other languages. And you look online and all you found is like either critics that are like these evangelicals, you know, who hate the church and they will criticize the church because we believe in God different than they do. It's nothing really meaty or interesting there either. Or the friendly stuff that is just how to make, you know, cards for visiting teaching. That's one that I saw today. I'm like, really? So I want to show this interesting, meaty, obscure stuff that everybody can, you know, learn from, and so we're translating like crazy, and we have the podcast, but we also have the blog, so we are putting all our material in the blog. If somebody doesn't want to listen or can't,
oh wow,
they can actually read it, and the podcast is weekly. We have five episodes. It's about half an hour each. My friend Joel and I were doing it, so. We could use some help, definitely. And it's hard to find help because, like you said, we can't give it to somebody to edit it because it's all in Spanish. Most of the help we need is translated. So a lot of people feel intimidated. Like, well, my Spanish is not good enough, so I can't really do it. So that's the biggest help that we could receive right now.
So you need Spanish speaker volunteers.
Right.
So ideally we have native speakers, but people who have a really strong...
Well,
Spanish background you could probably use.
Joel, he's not a Hispanic. He's actually, his second language is Portuguese, and he learned Spanish afterwards, and he's helping, and, you know, he feels intimidated sometimes because of his Spanish. He's like, you start the show, because if they hear me talking, they're going to go away. But he actually gets his points across better than me because, you know, his meaning is very clear, to the point, and... So if somebody feels intimidated because of that, don't. Including people who want to be in the panel, we would love to have somebody else. People don't get bored of us too. That would be great.
Yeah, I'm really pleased with the work you've been doing on that, and super impressed. And like John said, I don't speak Spanish either, so I have a hard time, you know, saying this is a great podcast.
Right.
But knowing you and the effort that you've put into it, I'm sure that it's great. And I can tell you it's the best, you know, independent Spanish-speaking Mormon podcast out there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, we definitely need more help. And there's tons of Mormon Spanish speakers.
Tons.
I mean,
oh yeah,
and you know, like I say, they're starved for information as just an act of mercy,
right? And that was actually like my point, like Lizzie was saying, you know, like try to inform people, and that's what we want to do. We try to keep it neutral. Like both Joe and I were kind of like out, but we try to keep it as neutral as we can. You know, we both play good cop, bad cop. It's kind of funny, but I will apologize the point of view and then rip it apart. You know, but that's all we have. So
right.
That's what we have to do. We have a website. It's pesquisasformonas.com. Let me spell it for you. It's pesquisasmormonas.com. It's kind of long, but hopefully we can link it.
We have links
Mormonas,
up there.
And they also have a Facebook page.
We have
page.
A Facebook group. We're on iTunes. So we're out there. Yeah.
And yep.
And share it with your friends if you have anybody that you know who
is. Definitely. You know, somebody in the group, I posted the idea on the group before we started, and somebody said, that will be a great idea because now my wife can actually listen to this kind of stuff that I've been listening to for all these years.
Yeah, or maybe somebody you converted on your mission that you want, you feel bad about.
Definitely, yeah, yeah.
All right, well.
And one more thing, something that I would like, you know, help with, it's a little bumper song. If somebody, you know, any musician out there wants to record it.
So you'd like
Latin it. Sounding hymn, that would be awesome.
Okay.
You can do whatever.
Cool. So, yeah, we need to help our Lemonite brothers and sisters out with this podcast. Excellent.
Right.
So just for us gringos, what does it mean in English?
Well, pesquisas actually means increase. And Joel came up with the idea. And I think because he's more into government work, pesquisas is inquiries, but it's more like a police inquiry.
Like the Spanish Inquisition
sort of
thing?
Interrogated, right.
That's what I'm going to call you guys from now on. That's your code name, the Spanish Inquisition.
That's good.
All right. Excellent. All right. Well, that leads us to Mormon Expression and its heir apparent.
I don't get a chance to talk.
Oh, voices. How can we forget voices? The reason I forget is because a lot of these other projects are new, but voices has been going since October?
November.
You're coming up on your anniversary, mm-hmm. and it's going like gangbusters, and it's fulfilling a need. A little bit on the background to it. One of the things we've done in Mormon Expression, if you listen to the whole library, is we were always trying out new ideas, trying different things. And you know, one of them we did was the personal interview, but it's not something that I felt really strong at. And I personally enjoyed doing the topical ones more, but I felt strongly that it was a need. So it wasn't the only motivation in doing the second podcast was looking, saying there's so many stories and so many varieties that need to be told, and it touches people in a way that the historical information doesn't. So we looked and said, okay, if we're going to sort of branch one of these and be able to do more, what makes the most sense? And that's why we went with the Mormon Expression voices. Yeah.
And Heather.
Yeah.
Has been working her ass off.
I gave it to you as a calling, didn't I?
Yes.
I called you into the bishop's office.
You did. You sent me an email and said, when you get a chance, could you give me a call? And fear, just fear, what have I done? And you asked me if I would do it. And to be honest, when I accepted the calling, I was a little unsure of it.
Why are you laughing?
I just, to hear anyone at this point in our lives say accept the calling,
The only way ex-Mormons to do things, you have to give them callings.
Yeah. So I was a little unsure of it. I quite like to hear myself speak, and so I love the panel discussion. But I thought, I'll do it. I mean, I wanted some experience on actually running a podcast, and I knew that one of the reasons you probably asked me is because you knew I would follow through on it. So I went ahead and accepted it. And I tell you what, I'm very, Amy's sending me text messages all the time. Do you need help editing anything? And I'm like, no. It's like my baby.
It took me a long time to get beyond that. That's a tough one. And if you listen to other people in all sorts of creative endeavors, be they stand-up comics or painting artists mm-hmm. or whatever, it is hard to work collaboratively on something artistic. Yeah.
Something that you put a lot of yourself into.
Yeah, I've definitely grown to love it, and I really enjoy interviewing people. And
so it's going to stick around? I mean, I told you you can quit whenever you want.
It's sticking around for now. I mean, I have no intention of resigning from the position.
Are you running out of stories?
Not yet. I every once in a while feel like I am, but then there's always stuff there. So that we might run out of stories, but it's not in the near future. So, and I've had several discussions with people about what voices should be. And since I'm the director, I've decided that while I want people to listen and find it entertaining, I mostly view it as an opportunity for people to share their story. So I'm very leery of saying you're not popular enough or your story might not be interesting enough. You know what I mean? I don't want to turn anybody away. I want everybody to feel like if they have something inside them that says I need to share my story, or I believe that there's somebody in the community who would benefit from hearing about the struggle that I went through, I want them to have that opportunity. So I think it's been largely successful up to this point. I don't think I've released any stink bombs or anything. So
no, I think it's been great. The feedback that I've gotten has been wonderful, and we get a lot of downloads and that sort of thing. So I think it's filling its need. And it goes to that original thing that with the podcast, that connection that a lot of people feel to it when they're all alone, and to hear those personal stories that can approach it from all sorts of different views, where, you know, I definitely can't reach a lot of those people, but if we can bring people together and share that story, that's wonderful.
I think it also serves a purpose for people who aren't in that or who are sensitive to that angry phase of disaffection.
Uh-huh.
Like I was saying, I was standing on the bus corner and saying out loud, yes, damn it. That's right. That's exactly what I think. Some people kind of are sensitive to that in the beginning, and they can still get that same kind of affirmation as to the same people are having the same kinds of problems with the church, but in a more gentle way.
Yeah, I definitely agree. So, and that is available at mormonexpression.com/voices.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just right where it's happily been. You're available on iTunes and all that sort of thing.
Yes. But I should say, though, that when we pick up this new project, the Joni Loves Chachi of Mormon Expression, Voices will be going to a bi-weekly schedule.
So you're going to be alternating every other week between Voices and the expositor.
Project. That's right.
So let's talk about the expositor a little bit. I think you guys have promos out now.
We've released one of three.
And you should be available in iTunes either shortly.
It's either already been done, which I don't think is the case, or it's on its way.
Okay. So back when we first started exploring the idea of leaving the podcast, we knew there was a lot of talent. It's not just Zilpha and I, obviously. There's a lot of talented people involved, and there's a lot of stories still to be told and things to be explored. And it was a really tough decision for us. And one of the discussions that we had internally several times over the span of a couple months is, what exactly do we do? And the fear was, if Zilph and I just walked away from Mormon Expression or appeared to disappear, that a lot of it has been associated with us and our personalities. So we wanted to make something that would be successful in transition, because I think one of the weaknesses, actually, of the podcast has been that I'm too much of a loudmouth. Right. I dominate too much that discussion, and I'm not for everybody. And there's a lot of great opinions that aren't mine. Right. But.
Yeah. not that I want to overly agree with that statement, but you said, because we are going away, we're not going away. That's another reason why instead of handing off Mormon Expression to a new director and a new panel and all of that stuff, is that we, John and I, want to still be able to come in and produce content as we see fit with Mormon Expression. So we needed to keep that open, and I mean, honestly, it's John's baby.
Right.
I mean, it's sort of like it's going to just stay out there and continue to be active, but just not as active.
Right. And people people get confused that I learned early on that I owned everything that went out on Mormon Expression. As a matter of fact, unfortunately, I tend to own everything that goes out on Mormon Stories too, because people talk to me about the podcast that I did on Mormon Stories for Mormon Expression. So there's a lot of confusion out there, and that can be both good and bad for both you guys and for me. So what we wanted to do was try to make a clean break so that you guys were actually free to explore new approaches that when I have strong editorial control may not have surfaced to the top. And maybe you guys, you're fully free to disagree with this, but I said, I want you guys to figure out the way you want to do it, and then let's come talk about it. But I didn't give you much direction in terms of telling you how to go about it.
No, you haven't been a heavy hand in anything that we've been putting together. I think going back to why we're starting a new podcast instead of just staying with Mormon Expression, if you go look at any podcast that John's not on, there's at least one comment saying the podcast is just never as good when John's not on. And so we would constantly...
You mean the ones from my avatars?
Yeah. Yes. So we would never have... We would have been fighting that, if not constantly, for a good while.
Right.
And also, it's so associated with you that you're always going to have a natural desire to want to make sure that you like what's going out on it.
Right.
So I thought when Amy and I found out this was happening, I was over at her house for one of our meetings that we have, and we were getting settled and only half listening.
One of those meetings you have at the coven?
No, one of the production meetings.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. And Amy and I were getting settled and we were only half listening. And Amy said, wait, did I just hear John say what I thought he heard, you know? And so I, from that point forward, for a couple of days, I thought, can I just walk away and just let that, not that obviously Mormon Expression is going to keep releasing every once in a while, but it'll kind of, if it's not released on a regular basis, then it leaves a
huge void.
Yeah. So, we're basically continuing with not exactly the same format, but basically the same format. There's not going to be a John Larson of our podcast. It's going to be many different hosts. Well, right now there's seven of us right now, or six, depending on what Richard decides to do. But
right.
So there won't be a centralized voice. And so it might be that people like some hosts and not others, or some series and not others, and that's totally fine. But we're hoping to kind of broaden the voice of it by having multiple people contributing their own episode type stuff.
Right.
Can you give us a foretaste of some of the things you've got on the table in your plans?
Yes, ma'am.
That's the wrong one if you want to look at the schedule.
I was going to look at these because those are...
I saw that you were endorsed by Ezra Taft Benson. And
yes. ETB is on our team, by the way. Things that we've got scheduled out, and we've got a loose schedule right now, working out until December. And like Heather mentioned, with Voices, we'll be rotating every other week. So Mormon Expositor will air, and then Voices will air. But we've got topics. We're going to do a 101 series, which will kind of be like the dummy series. We'd like to do a sex series, which talks about sex and sexuality and how it relates to Mormonism, or being in Mormonism and coming out of Mormonism.
I think it's got six episodes slated, maybe.
Wow.
We've got a Who Is series, which is like a biography channel type series, and just go in and talk about some well-known or not well-known people in church history, or significant people that have had an impact on church history. And then just some basic informational type podcasts. We've got things, for instance, the church and the ERA. We'll go through and talk about that. Loose versus tight translation theories.
One that we actually have scheduled is the Antichrist of the Book of Mormon.
All right.
We're super excited about that, because
actually Nehor and Korihor and all those guys.
Yeah, I heard about that all weekend at my parents' house. So we want to keep the things that were successful in Mormon Expression alive with the Mormon Expositor, and give everyone a little taste of what they liked about Mormon Expression that can keep them as a listener for Mormon Expositor.
Okay, so the URL is MormonExpositor.com.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, once again, you'll be able to link out there from all that. And I think maybe the first episode or two will run parallel in the feed while people get their iTunes feed set mm-hmm. up. But I think this is exciting. I mean, I know all the people who are on, and they're all extremely intelligent and thoughtful folks. And you'll still be continuing the cycle of bringing on different voices and different panels and all that kind of stuff. Because I say rhetorically, I know you guys are doing that, you know, because people have criticized Mormon Expression, say, oh, well, you don't have a panel of PhDs. First of all, PhDs are not that great to listen to. But secondly, I have enjoyed the fact that we bring on different perspectives and people who have lived it or looked at it from different views who may not necessarily have, you know, written their thesis in it. And I think it's been a strength to hear about Mormon Expression from all sorts of point of view. Because you can accuse us of a lot of things, but you can't accuse us of being inauthentic when it comes to Mormonism, because we've all been there and stuck our finger in the dike. And not in a good way.
And just to piggyback on that, instead of the Joni Loves Chachi of Mormon Expression, I really want to be the sister wife of Mormon Expression. So stick your finger in the dike.
Well, I'm all hot and bothered. All right. Well, you know, I think we've gone on quite some time. But what I want everybody to understand is that the heart and soul of what Mormon Expression was, I think, grew into something that can provide more of the same value and reach more people, and you know, help examine this experience, this amazing thing. I've said this over and over again to people that most religions are born in the distant past, but here we have a real authentic religion, a faith system that was born in the age of print and in the age of audio, and that's just fascinating to be where we are. And if you look 170 years into like Catholicism or Buddhism or something, they hadn't even come into their own yet. And that we can see that birth and analyze it and tear it apart and put it back together is so fascinating. But, you know, we are a business like any other business, and we rely on contributions from listeners. And I think it would be a mistake on people move on, and I understand that, and it might have been something that's valuable to you at one time, but now your dollars are going some other place. That's fine. But there's still value to be provided, and we're still looking for – there's other projects we don't have any time to talk about tonight. They're still in their infancy. Maybe for non-disclosure elements, I can't talk about them, or they're still just early. But there are some exciting stuff on the horizon. And I would just say, for those who have thought Mormon Expression have value enough to subscribe, I would say consider keeping that up, because that's what's funded all of these projects that we've talked about, because there is startup cost in all these things.
And I would say that if you're listening to audiobooks on the Mormon Audio Library, donate through that site so that we can know where the money's coming from. If you listen to Mormon... Amy!
What?
That is not a microphone stand.
Well, my view is blocked.
It fit nicely.
You missed out.
You're just jealous.
I am jealous. I don't think I could pull that off. Mormon Expression Voices has been just linked to the Mormon Expression payment button, but we're going to fix that. So if you really enjoy Mormon Expression Voices, you need to donate through there to let us know that. The Mormon Expositor, when it comes out, the same thing. And Pesquisas Mormonas.
Olé.
Was that right? You can correct her if she's wrong.
Same thing with that. Oh, and we forgot to mention one other important project is the Mormon Wiki, which is called Mormon Archive.
Oh, yes, the Mormon Archive.
MormonArchive.org.
Yep.
Right? Check that out. And if you're interested in contributing to that wiki, which is a kind of a collaborative effort.
It's basically an encyclopedia of Mormon doctrine, but it has all of the source quotes.
That's the vision.
Yeah.
So that people can find every quote that was ever said on Adam God, or every quote that was ever said about
birth
baptism
control,
or whatever it is. So if you're interested in helping out with that, we could use quite a few more hands with that project.
Yep. All right.
And the work moves forward.
Well, I think we've beat
Press
everybody
on.
down. And
Put your shoulders to the wheel.
And then look forward, our next episode, Zilpha, we have our essays coming out, I think, next week or in 2 weeks.
Yep.
The essay contest.
It'll be very exciting. There's like 14 or so entries. So those are always really fun.
And then the last essay, or the last entry for a little bit, will be Zilpha and I's personal reflection on and war stories from our 3 years.
Aren't we going to do that while we're up at the camp out?
We're looking at recording that live at the camp out.
We will attempt that.
So as always, the discussion continues on Mormon Expression. Make sure to check out whitefieldseducational.org for links to all the projects we talked about here. And you know, please feel free to contact Zilpha and I at john@mormonexpression.com or Zilpha@mormonexpression.com. Do you ever check that?
No,
you
do mail. Mail at Mormon Expression.
Yeah, M-A-I-L.
Yes.
All right. Well,
as opposed to fee, no.
Lindsay and everybody else, thanks for coming down.
Oh, right. And the Feminist Mormon. Sorry, I forgot yours on the plug to donate.
Yep, absolutely. All right. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Good night.
Good night.
Hang in there, Lindsay.